Are you a health or wellness practitioner who feels stuck? You are constantly busy, but it feels like you're on a hamster wheel, doing a whole bunch of different things, trying to grow your online business, but nothing seems to be really working to do that, grow the business, and also give you some freedom. You really just want to improve lives, but you're saddled with all these tasks that you're really not interested in, you know, sales and marketing, posting on Instagram, that sort of thing. And to make the worst of it, you're doing it and none of it feels like it's actually working. None of your content is landing, your following's not growing, and you're not getting sales. If any of this sounds like you, then today's guest is here to help. Allison McLean hosts the Ignite Your Wellness Business podcast and owns a business by the same name. She is a physical therapist and also an online business coach who helps wellness entrepreneurs build profitable online businesses, taking their in-person skills to getting fully booked online, hitting their first $100,000 a year and scale. Allison is a wealth of knowledge, so we only managed to touch the tip of the iceberg here, but I guarantee you will find it highly, highly useful and you'll find a ton of actionable tips and things to think about that you can take back to your business right away. I'm Joel Oliver and this is Profits Through Podcasting. Allison, welcome in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I think we should start with a very important piece of the puzzle here about your business is just a brief history of your business, which is called Ignite Your Wellness Business. When and why did you start that?
Long story short is I was working for my mentor for a number of years in the practitioner side of things. I'm a physical therapist, massage therapist, yoga therapist, and teacher. They're slightly different. And a coach. And essentially, I was let go of. I was fired. And I had to make a decision whether to start my own business or not. In the end, I ended up not wanting to go work for another mill clinic scenario. So I started my own business, even though I kind of didn't want to and I didn't have any savings, but that's another story. And eventually it did grow and it was really successful and I loved it. And two things happened right before the pandemic, pretty much. I was diagnosed with rectal cancer and a genetic mutation. And it opened my eyes to how vulnerable my business really was, because if I couldn't show up to do my manual work or teach a yoga class, my revenue stopped. And so I started getting into the online, working with people online in the online industry as a way to supplement my revenue, because I had a surgeon tell me, you know, he said, you know, a lot of patients with Lynch syndrome, I see them for surgeries every 5 to 7 years. And because I unexpectedly had to have two surgeries, I was like, okay, I need to prepare for this. So I started bringing in online work and growing my audience with my podcast at the same time. And so then I started getting requests, Allison, how did you grow your brick and mortar? How did you learn about online programs? I'd like to work with people online. I'd like to become 100% cash based and do a hybrid. So that's how my business coaching side of things evolved. And then eventually I realized how much I love to do that work. And so I'm primarily doing business coaching. I still have, you know, it's 95%. I still have some brick and mortar patients that come to see me. They've been with me 10, 15 years now. I just love them. So I don't know if I'll ever let them go. If they decide to let me go, that's another story.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Fascinating story. And it's music to an entrepreneur's ears to just have inquiries coming to you and kind of guiding you like, hey, we want to do business with you or you should offer this. So that's fantastic. Now, for the people that you are helping these days that maybe are struggling a bit with that, or they're, you know, they're tapped out of referrals, or it's just they need to know how to grow their business more. What are the struggles that you're seeing with the people that are coming to you these days and needing help?
Oh, marketing, hands down. I'd say 99, maybe even 100% of clients that come to me or consultations that come to me or DMs I get, they're really skilled practitioners. They have no problem unless they're starting out and they're brand new. But even then, they have confidence in their practitioner skills. It's more of how do I get the clients, and marketing just a lot of them loathe, hate, dislike, dread marketing, all forms, and sometimes consider it self-promotion. There's a lot of nervous system hangups with that, obstacles and roadblocks to marketing and showing up. They don't know if they should show up online or in person or both and what to say. So that's often where people are getting stuck, I find.
Yes. And as is common, I see in this space, and I'm sure you do as well, is yeah, there's these skilled people that just want to help others. They know how to do that well. Obviously, when you have a business, you've got to have clients coming in. So you're faced as an entrepreneur with that side of things, the marketing, the business stuff that they oftentimes don't want to deal with, but we have to. Uh-huh. So we got to figure that out. And it's very frustrating, you know, when it doesn't work. Yeah. And one thing I love about your Instagram posts is clearly as an expert in this space, you understand your clients' pain points, and many of your posts are crafted around these exact things, like labeling the pain point, explaining it, offering a solution, right? So as I was looking through your Instagram preparing for our talk today, I saw a lot of these posts that really made my life easy to prepare, because I'm like, these are the exact things we need to talk about, right? So they're already laid out. And I think one of the first things that we should get to here, we're definitely going to stay on marketing, is that feeling when you were on Instagram, I'm posting, I don't know really what I'm doing, but I feel like nobody's watching, nobody's listening, just talking into a void, hoping the algorithm saves me, which is less and less likely these days, I think. And worst of all, I'm not getting any DMs. I'm not getting any bookings. I don't know what's going on here, what else to do. So talk a bit about this. What's a typical culprit here and how do we start addressing that?
Yeah, I love this. It's funny, I just did a podcast on engagement. But first of all, thank you. That's music to my ears about my channel. I love hearing things like that because, you know, sometimes we have days, even if we've been in it for a while and views are improving, that we doubt. But yeah, the void is hard. Crickets are hard. And because we have a human brain, sometimes, you know, our brain likes to err on the side that no one is watching, no one's listening, no one likes your content. And first of all, it's not true often. I can't tell you the number of times when I had a really dead account because I was learning how to speak to my audience in a way that resonated with them. I still signed clients and I still had people watching, and they would write on the consultation form, "I saw you from Instagram. Your last post spoke for me." And those instances, even if they happened once in a while, they kept me going. And I just learned how to get more specific in my messaging. And that's often the number one thing I tell my clients when they're coming to me, whether it's one-to-one or I'm in my Instagram group program, is you have to get really specific. So specific that you're speaking to one person about one of the struggles. And it's almost like a reel or an email is dropping the reader or the person viewing the content into a snapshot, a moment of the day-to-day where they're really struggling. One reel that did really well for me is like speaking to imposter syndrome is me meditating, and then the White Lotus audio is in the background, you know, saying, "Piper, you're not Buddhist," you know? And it's like that imposter syndrome that can come up for the meditation teacher when they're doubting their work. And so it's just this snapshot of a meditation teacher in the moment when they're actually going through that struggle. So if you're a health and wellness practitioner, it might be that moment where a mom's, you know, hormones are out of whack, or maybe they're trying to fast to lose weight and they snap at their kid, right? And so how could you take that one moment and either make it funny or clever or bold or controversial? But if you really capitalize on what the struggle is for the mom in that moment, often it's feeling guilty of yelling at a kid's, like, wishing to be a different type of mom, like beating themselves up because now they're like their own mom who they never wanted to be. Like if they can capitalize on what internally is really happening for them and speak to that. And then what I usually do a lot of the times is extrapolate on that in the caption and even say, like, I try to give a lot of value in my caption where I get a lot of saves, because I say, you know, if you're feeling this way, for example, try this, this, and this. And I might give three steps so you can speak to what they're desiring or even help them more in the caption. That's just one example.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you have the Instagram messaging makeover program that you do. So I assume that's mm-hmm. where you get into a lot of this. Mm-hmm. Is that, that's mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because it's interesting. You hear this as an entrepreneur or trying to figure out your marketing, like you got to get specific. And unless you really know what specific is, that can be a challenge because you're stuck in this place where you think, I'm doing it right. Mm-hmm. I got specific. I mm-hmm. said, Mom, you're busy with the kids and you're angry. But it's not like that's not enough. You really like you, mm-hmm. the way you described it just now was very, very specific.
And you can use AI these days to really help. But sometimes the first answer AI will give you with the prompt, even if you say like be specific, you need to take another level deeper. I'll often use the prompt and you could write this down now, like, speak to an actual experience my ideal client is facing in their day to day and what's happening in that moment and what they're feeling. And that often helps a lot to get more specific as well.
Right. Yeah. AI has made our lives a lot easier in that sense. And I'm sure there's still a component of this where it's helpful to be in touch with your clients and talking to them and mm-hmm. hearing what their actual life experiences are mm-hmm. like. But we don't need to do that as much if we can ask AI. It's a great start for inspiration.
Yeah, but your client sessions, whether they're online or in person or in a group program, like what they're telling you in every session, that's the goal. That's the specificity right there. They're literally telling you your next reel or email or what, you know, however you market.
Right. Okay. So that's great insight. We talked a bit about there about feeling like no one's really listening, even though you might start to see some numbers, it still feels like there's nothing going on. Another thing people can get caught up with is that follower count, especially when you see these tens and hundreds of thousands of followers on accounts. It can be discouraging, but I presume this is not the end all be all. We don't need those types of numbers. It shouldn't be a metric that we look at necessarily. Mm-hmm. What can you say about that? Are people typically kind of hung up on that number and you have to redirect them into looking at a different metric?
Yeah, exactly. It's twofold. You do want to grow your audience. There is power in engagement. So number of likes, shares, comments, saves, overall, all of that. And there is power and so much freedom and flexibility of choices in your business when you do have a large audience, hundreds of thousands. And even when my account was dead, or I have some clients that come to me and their account is, you know, 200 followers, 500 followers, it is still possible to make five-figure months with these small audiences. I've done it and my clients have done it too. So you don't want to use your small audience or lower engagement against yourself to cause yourself to freeze or give up completely on Instagram. There's still ways. You know, as long as you're using Instagram, for example, as the starting point, and then you have strategies or a funnel that is helpful to convert people off Instagram into your world, into your funnels, then 100% you can. I have many clients that come to me brand new with, you know, Instagram followings of 200 to 500, and they sign their first clients ever off Instagram. And they're just learning everything from square one. So if they can do it, then you can do it too, no matter your audience size.
Right. And I guess the engagement is important as well, because if you have a solid 500 people who are, many of them are engaged, that would be more clients than you can even handle if you could take all 500. So there's nothing wrong with that. And you talked about getting very specific. Now, if someone is kind of in this dead zone right now and wanting to start making an effort to grow that, is it literally just adjusting what you're posting, or is there other strategies you would implement, like following other people and interacting and that sort of thing?
Yeah. First of all, don't act like a bot, because Instagram will put you in jail. And that's happened to me before, not because I was intentionally doing it, but only because one day I was like in a rhythm of, I actually get out there, engage with other accounts. I like it. I like people's posts. I comment and I do follow some people, and some of people do follow me back. But I got in a rhythm of doing that too quickly one day, because I get like very focused, and Instagram did throw me in jail for doing too many actions too quickly. This was a while ago, like I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, but it did suck. So I don't recommend doing anything fast like a bot, but I do recommend acting, and I do this strategy these days, is acting like a human. So if some people are engaging on my content and comment on my content, I go and engage and comment on theirs because they took time out of their day to do that. So I want to, you know, pay it back, as they would say. Someone is in my, you know, in your stories, you can see who's looking at your stories. So I will go look at those little heads floating down there at the bottom, and I'll go engage with their stories and ask them questions and start conversations. And yeah, if someone shows up in my feed and their content sparks my interest, I might follow them back. And that is one way I began to grow my engagement back, in combination 100% with refining my message and getting better with not even videography skills so much. I still am not good there, but you can use it's, I mean, Instagram, and now it's app edits, makes it so easy to edit content. And it's really the editing of keeping things short and snappy and, you know, so people are stopping their scroll and then hooking them and having them watch it through. That's an art. It's a skill that some people come to the platform with, and that's how they grow really quickly. I did not, so I had to learn it. But that has really helped. All of that has helped tremendously for me.
Okay. And it sounds like you're doing a lot of this yourself. You're the one on there mm-hmm. interacting and making the mm-hmm. content.
Yeah, I think that's a big mistake I see a lot of. I can't tell you the number of clients who have come to me having paid agencies or other social media, like VAs, social media VAs, and no shade to them. They're, you know, they are often good at what they do. But I think there's a time and place to hiring an agency or a social media VA, because you have to know your content well enough to train someone else, because no one else is going to know your audience and your audience struggles as much as you do. And you have to learn it first before you can teach someone else. So I've had a lot of clients come to me spending thousands of dollars, and literally their account is crickets. These agencies are posting beautiful content, right? The content looks beautiful, but the message is so generic. A stock photo, stock video, like it could be on anyone's account. There's nothing to differentiate that practitioner from anyone else or connection points with their audience. So it's literally money down the drain. So I think you can use agencies and people to help you at the right time, and that will make your money go so much further. And it's heartbreaking. Like there's so many times where I just remember one day, like I was striving to get my reels over 1,000, each reel over 1,000 views. And like, I was just kept getting stuck at like 600 or 800 views. And then maybe one would go to 1500. And I just remember one day it was raining out here and I literally wanted to throw my phone in a puddle. I was so frustrated. Yeah. But I can tell you, like, if you stick with it, this is the discomfort. Like we think we come to entrepreneurship because it's always going to be, you know, we're in control now. Like it's always going to be rainbows, daisies, and unicorns. But that's not the truth. Like to grow, you have to go through some discomfort. And if you're choosing Instagram as the platform, you're going to have your own discomfort edges you're going to have to work through. And now that I'm on the other side of that, I'm so glad to pass me for sticking it through.
Hey, it's Joel jumping in for 15 seconds. If you are ready to take your podcast to the next level and save time so you can focus on your business while generating more leads and revenue through podcasting, book your podcast vitality call with me today at eastcoaststudio.com. You'll find the link in the show notes. Now back to the episode. Something I'd like to talk about next is the entrepreneurship side of things. It's not just about the income. Obviously, we want the income. That's very important. But if it's coming at the cost of, say, freedom and family time and you're burned out, working nonstop, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, that's not the goal that we have. And I know you help people with that as well. When people mm-hmm. come to you feeling like that, what are the common reasons for it that you see? And what do you end up having to address to turn that situation around?
Yeah, sometimes I find overworking comes from a couple different places. For me, I hustled in the beginning for revenue because, as I mentioned, I didn't have savings when I started my business and had to pay the bills here in Southern California. So I hustled and overworked. And sometimes, you know, you got to pay the bills. So it is what's required. It's just knowing that it's not sustainable. So you do have to figure it out another way. So that's often one way is people just are, I mean, maybe I didn't need to do that. There was a lot of money scarcity and fear going on with me as well. It's kind of an old pattern that I still work with my own coaches these days, even though financially I'm doing quite well. It's just my brain likes to offer that I'm going to make a business decision that's going to blow up my business and put my family on the street at times. It gets very dramatic. So that's one reason. Sometimes it's, you know, our money scarcity thoughts. There's legitimate reasons why you need money to pay the bills. And then also sometimes I find, you know, there's elements of maybe people pleasing. You are getting busier. People are wanting times when it's convenient for them to book with you, not when it's, you know, the times that you actually want to work, whether it be evenings or weekends or during your lunch, for example. So it's learning how to say no. So sometimes it's an element of people pleasing, an element of perfection, thinking that, you know, this is me. I was in the beginning of my business, I was in masterminds where hustle culture was the norm. It was just how people were doing things back then. And so for me, it was an element of perfectionism also, like, oh, other people are doing it this way, that must be the right way. They're successful, so that's how I should do it too. And then I realized, actually, it's not the only way. So perfectionism, people pleasing, those are the pretty much the big ones I see that cause overworking.
Okay. Makes sense. And people who are putting this together, they're on their journey, they're slowly figuring it out. Maybe they're getting some calls booked and that sort of thing, which is a good sign, but they are not always converting in the way that they would want. It's like they're doing calls with seemingly good fitting clients, but they're not getting the sale eventually. What do you see in that regard? How do you have to help people figure that out?
Yeah, I love this. You're just taking it right through the funnel here. Really common. You know, it's twofold. The first layer is what we were talking about before, the marketing. So how the marketing is done to position the person on the call so they are ready, they know the price, they know that you are the person to help them specifically. There's a lot that you can do in marketing to pre-sell them before they even get on the call, or in a workshop. There's a lot you can do in a workshop to pre-sell them so that people coming to consults after a workshop are more prepared and are easy hell yes, for example. And then the second part is what is actually being said on the call. Sometimes practitioners are afraid to waste a lot of time on consult calls because they do get a lot of no's. So they make really short calls, 15 to 20 minutes, which is fine, right? If you're really skilled at this, you can do it in 15, 20 minutes. However, it's more, they show up with this attitude of, here's what I do, and they're screening the person. Like, I can't tell you myself as a consumer, as a client, I hire practitioners all the time, whether it's for like my own health needs, business coaches, all kinds of things. So I've been on a ton of consult calls, and I can't tell you the number of consult calls where I've gotten off from and I was like, oh, that's a definite no, that was really bad. Or on the call, I've said, I don't think we're a good fit because like a practitioner's eating, or they're just going off on, you can't do this, this is who I look for, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, oh, this feels really yucky. Like, this is not the person for me. So sometimes it's just how the consult call is run. And I've had to learn a lot about consult calls. For me, I would freeze a lot on consult calls. If someone had any type of objection, like I have to talk to my husband or look at my bank account, all those kind of things, I'd be like, okay, see ya, bye, and hang up. Where now I'm able to work through that a lot better on consult calls. And my conversion has improved dramatically.
Great. Okay. So there's a lot to this next question, but we're moving through the funnel. So just on a broad level, mm-hmm. You share mm-hmm. a lot of real world stories from your clients. And one that caught my eye was, I think it generated $17,000 of sales in 6 days. Now, there's mm-hmm. entrepreneurs who come to you before getting this kind of success. They maybe are stuck at like 5K a month and they just don't know how to move past it. And they see something mm-hmm. like that and they just go, how do I do that?
How in the world?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So on a high level, it's probably a lot to do with what we've chatted about here, but mm-hmm. how are we making that happen versus being stuck?
Yeah. So I look at it as a puzzle where if you have all these different pieces, right? You have your marketing, you have your consult calls, you have your client offer, you have your dream revenue goal, right? You have all these pieces. It's lining them up in such a way, for example, that your offer, the ideal schedule that you want to work, your dream revenue, that those pieces snap up. So how they might not work together and they might not form that complete puzzle, for example, is I'll have people that come to me and they say, oh, Allison, I want to run a membership. I, you know, teach a lot of classes. I have a ton of information from all my certifications. I want to have a membership. And people can just pay like $47 a month and they come and they can get all my content and it helps them with all kinds of wellness stuff. And I'm like, okay, great. I know it definitely sounds like what you're talking about. Tell me, what's your dream revenue goal? Oh, you know, $10,000 or $12,000 a month would be great. I'm like, okay, great. So if we did the math here, right, let's just take 12,000 divided by 47. That's about 255 people a month you need to sign. How big's your audience? Oh, I have about 500 people on my email list and, you know, about 800 on Instagram, right? The math ain't math in there.
Right.
That's not going to get you to 12K months at that price point, right? Not to say that you can't do a membership now or in the future, but something has to give. You know, so many people are sometimes resistant to go to one-to-one, for example, because they've been in mill clinics, they're burnout of one-to-one in their own business. And so they're really hesitant to, I've been there myself, to, you know, offer a lot of one-to-one in their own business. But there's ways that you can, you know, create a higher ticket wellness offer, for example, utilizing one-to-one, plus bringing in a membership. That brings the price point up dramatically, where now you need a lower volume of people to sign each month to hit your revenue goal without working. So when someone comes to me, like I take a look at all these different pieces and then you just have to line it up. So then, you know, when you're marketing to your audience and they're saying yes, the price point works for them, you have the whole funnel optimized, then you can get five clients in 5 days, and that equates to, you know, $15,000 in revenue or more. It's all this preparation work that gets you there.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. And yes, definitely that point of the higher ticket, higher price versus the number of clients, very important. That's something we chat about a lot here as well, because most of our audience has a podcast and they're looking to generate similar types of revenue for themselves. And for all that to add up, it's got to be this higher ticket stuff. Otherwise, you're going to be trying to sell, you know, 10,000 ebooks every month. It's just not as easy. Right.
Yeah, it's not. And I mean, again, that comes full circle of why, you know, growing a massive audience on Instagram or YouTube, any channel, can be so powerful, because yes, then you can lower the price. And, you know, I want to be transparent, because right now our economy is a little unknown, a little uncertain. And so I think there's things that you can do where you offer a high price point. I do, but you can also bring in some lower tiers without confusing your audience. It just can, so, you know, you can meet people where they're at and, you know, work with the economy as it changes and shifts, as it will. That gives you flexibility. The thing is, the mistake I see there though, is people often try to launch or market too many offers all at the same time. And that can cause decision paralysis within their audience, where their audience doesn't do anything then.
Absolutely. Yeah. See that a lot too. Just too many offers, too much confusion, too many things on the website, don't know where to start or what to even do. We need to make it very clear so the audience knows exactly kind of where, what step to take next, which I would like to address momentarily, just learning a bit about your podcast and how you use that. Because like I said, most of our listeners have podcasts they're using as a marketing tool. So you've got a podcast, Ignite Your Wellness Business. You've been doing it for quite a while, since 2019. Mm-hmm. You're over 300 episodes, which is great. Yeah. Are you leveraging that to bring people into your world, or how does that look for you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it was a long game, especially because when I first started the podcast, I had a lot of imposter syndrome. It started off as Facebook Lives with interviews of other practitioners, actually. And I did almost 2 years of that before I actually got the confidence to do my own podcast. So I had to get over a lot of imposter syndrome, especially doing solo episodes and figuring out what my audience needed to hear and how they needed to hear it. Bringing on my client, you know, when I was a practitioner, actually bringing on some of my patients, and now as a business coach, bringing on my clients and actually having them tell their stories before and after, that has helped tremendously. I'll have people reference client stories and be like, I heard so-and-so's story on the podcast, and that really motivated me to schedule this consult call. So that's one tip that has really helped. But yeah, I do get consultations from my podcast. I get people that follow me from my podcast now, but it took a while for me to get that because again, I just had a lot of imposter syndrome, and I shifted my audience completely from being a practitioner and then business coach.
Okay. Yeah. Very powerful sharing those client stories, the before and after. I love that concept for episodes. Mm-hmm. When you do these, are you using the same lead magnet or call to action in every episode, or you change it up depending on the content of the episode? How does that look in kind of helping people see what the next step is to work with you or go further down the funnel?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in my outro, the out bumper, I always promote a consult, because whether they work with me one-to-one or in my group programs, I offer consultations for either one. So all roads lead to the consult. That's easy. So I always have that there. Just book a consult. But sometimes within the episode, or I might add an additional intro if I'm having a special workshop coming up, or for example, when I just did the 300th episode, I did the top 10 episodes, and one on pricing was a very popular one. And so that particular episode, I actually have the perfect pricing matrix to help them decide on the rates. And so I have a special freebie or lead magnet to go along with that episode. But I don't do it for every episode because that would be a lot of admin and funnels to keep up with. So if I have a lead magnet or a workshop that like relates to the episode, I'll for sure mention it. Or if I have a live workshop coming up, I'll definitely mention it then. Otherwise, I pretty much stick to the consult.
Got it. Yeah. A lot of benefit in keeping it simple, and it doesn't have to be a million different email sequences and different lead magnets.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Amy Porterfield does it, but you know, she's got a team.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's a goal for someday, but it's certainly not necessary at this level. As we get to the end here, a question I always like to ask, because we spend this time talking to you, seems to have it all together. Everything is working great. You've been very successful, but we're always not necessarily dealing with a challenge, but at least a priority we have in mind, like what's coming next or what should we be thinking about? Mm-hmm. So what's on your radar when it comes to that? Like, what are you thinking about next in your business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really good question. Actually, I'm driving up my business coach is in town in LA on Friday. I'm driving up to her and I was like, what do I want to be coached at? Mm-hmm. And so I was really thinking about it. And something I've been working on the last couple months or so is my own nervous system capacity to move past a bigger financial growth edge. I've been steadily growing at like 10, 20% increments or 5 to 20% increments each year. But now I'd like to do a bigger leap. And what it comes down to for me is nervous system blocks, essentially. And having, you know, self-identifying as that business owner who can make that type of revenue and have happy clients who are well cared for. And then for me, when I think about that, is like, okay, what systems do I need to have in place to make sure that these clients are supported and happy and getting results? And what staff or team members might I have to have in place? Because otherwise, if I don't see that, then I notice my nervous system starts blocking, and it'll come up in my marketing where I'll you know, quickly write a generic email, or maybe even not even show up to Instagram stories as much, things like that. So that's currently what I'm working on.
Yeah, that's I love that, because it's not necessarily the first thing that would come to people's mind thinking of how do I move to the next phase here or grow, and it's, you know, it's internal. So when you talk about your business coach there, is that coach going to help you with that nervous system thing as well? Or do you see other avenues for like, how do you actually address that?
Yeah, both. So both. Some of it we do verbal coaching, like questions and reflection. Some of it is somatic type work. And I work with somatic specific practitioners that help with that. So often sometimes how it works is like my business coach might bring it to my awareness of what the block is. And she'll start the journey of the somatic work, but it's a group program. So, you know, doing some of that somatic work, it's both a time thing and, you know, how vulnerable do you want to be in front of a group of people, which you can do. Sometimes I do. But sometimes I like to double up and then I'll take that awareness then into a somatic specific practitioner to help me like process through that. And then on my own, I might do more journaling, or I love to go on walks and like listen to music or podcasts, and I'll start to integrate it and bring that new identity. And often that's where like my own ideas and creative process will come to then implement that whole strategy. So that's kind of like my system. And I go to my own weekly like yoga and somatic classes as well out in the community to further like integrate it all.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, Allison, you're clearly a wealth of knowledge. So anybody that has a wellness business that is trying to level up, I mean, there's no question they should be coming to talk to you.
Thank you.
We've got igniteyourwellness.com for your website, your podcast, of course, Ignite Your Wellness Business. Any other thing that you would point out that is the next step people should take to come see what you've got?
Yeah, if they're interested in Instagram, I will give you the link. We can put it in the show notes. I have a workshop that's normally $7 on how to grow your Instagram audience and start signing clients off it right off the bat, how to optimize your profile so it's ready to get followers while you sleep, book consults while you sleep or when you're with clients. So for your audience for listening, I'll gift that to them for free so they can just head to the show notes to get that link.
Great. Thank you. Okay, we'll put that in the show notes. And thanks so much for your time. This was so helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
Join us again next time on Profits Through Podcasting for more insights on how to turn your health-focused podcast into a lead and revenue generation machine for your business. Are you ready to let a team of professionals handle your entire podcast production workflow? East Coast Studio can help you elevate your podcast to the higher quality standards required for credibility in the health and wellness space. Plus, give you the guidance and support needed to podcast consistently, growing your impact and your sales. Visit eastcoaststudio.com to learn more.